Praise God. Glad you're here today. Well, we've started just over a month ago this campaign that we're calling One. One accord, one heart, one soul, one church. And to a degree, maybe not as much as I would like, but to a degree, I believe we're moving in that direction into what the Bible calls one accord. You've seen some changes. We're having one service, connections in our new atrium before and after service. We're doing friendship dinners. We had been doing express groups for years, you know, I don't know how many years, but six, seven, maybe more years. Well, there's the new couple, Corey and Svenja. Why don't you stand and say hello to everybody? Congratulations. Got to be distracted now there. And Express was just some small groups that we were doing once a month. And it was a planned group and, you know, had an Express leader. And, you know, some people had been in certain groups for years. So we just decided to shake it up a little bit. Sometimes you can get comfortable, get in a rut. And so we moved to friendship dinners. And really the Express groups came out of friendship dinners. And what a friendship dinner is two to three couples or six, seven people get together, have a meal together. Some don't know each other. And so if you just come out of that dinner knowing the names of everybody there, that would be a success. But then knowing their name, hearing their story. You know, when you share a meal together with someone, that's something intimate, coming into someone's house. And if you haven't participated in one of those dinners, I really encourage you to do that, even if you're a shy person, and normally that's not your thing. I just encourage you to be bold, to step out and do something like that. We still have time to sign up for this next friendship dinner, but it's a great night. Who's all participated in that? Raise your hand. Many of us. Many hands that are not up, and I just want to encourage you to step out and do that, and it'll be a fun night, and we'll just see. We've got at least one more planned. I think we'll probably have some more after this one in April. But these messages and things that we've been doing are aimed at bringing us together. There's a term found in the book of Acts, one accord. And actually, one accord is one Greek word. It's not two words. It's one Greek word. And this is what, you know, and it appears many times in the book of Acts. If you read there, it'll just jump out at you, one accord. And there's so many benefits of being in one accord. Lives being impacted, souls being saved, people being healed, signs and wonders, financial increase. I mean, the list goes on and on. You just read all through the book of Acts at the points where they talked about one accord, and you'll see the benefits of it. So it's something that's desirable. And then we know from Matthew 18, when two people come into agreement, it says that anything that they ask shall be done for them. Well, what happens when you have a larger group come into agreement? The Bible says that one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. So by two people coming together, the spiritual power increases tenfold. So if you had 100 people coming together in unity, what kind of power is generated from that? And so this is why the enemy fights it so much. This is why the enemy fights marriage. That's why there's such an assault on families today. That's why churches are facing this. You know, it says in Matthew in the last days that the hearts of many will grow cold. I mean, I've seen that even in the last few years. I've seen in families a coldness, a separation. And it's a trend in this world, and it's going to increase. The Bible prophesies it and says it, so it'll happen just like everything else it says. And so you have to resist that on purpose. And so one of the things we're doing here on purpose, we're making a stand. We're not going to be a divided ministry. We're not going to be an orchard of different visions and missions. We're going to have one vision, one mission, and we're going to come together in this most important time, this important season. We're talking about astonishing things happening. Well, it's not going to happen if we're not in agreement. So we're going to preach and we're going to teach and we're going to make changes until we see what the Bible talks about one accord. Now, this definition of this Greek word means this, one accord. It means being unanimous. How many know that's tough? Being unanimous. This is the challenge that we face. And you know, Good News Church is a unique, different church because we're a church that actually has all different kinds of races. I mean, there are so many churches in this area. You're going to go into it and it's going to be all white, all black, all Korean, all Hispanic, all Chinese. And so we have a real opportunity here, but, you know, we also have a real challenge because that means there's got to be a greater love. When you have people that are so similar, thank you, you know, it's a little easier. It's not, you know, it's still difficult to come into agreement. But when you have so many different backgrounds, we're a non-denominational church. We have Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, Lutherans, people that haven't been in church. So we have a higher degree of opportunity for offense. We have a higher opportunity for strife just because of the differences. So we're going to need God's help to pull this thing off here. But it says unanimous, having mutual consent, being in agreement, having group unity. And then this is one of the definitions of one accord. Having one mind and purpose. You know, it's not about having similar characteristics and even different beliefs, but it's coming together in the same mind and having the same purpose. And I love this one. It's harmony leading to action. It's not just agreement and getting along for the sake of agreement. It's there's a purpose behind it, and there's action behind it, and there's fruit behind it. Now, what we're talking about here in one is not something that God doesn't desire. I mean, we may be doing this, but this is the heart of God. I want to read to you something from John 17, and I'm going to read it from the Message translation, so maybe just follow along on the screen. But in John 17, this is one of the prayers Jesus prayed before he went to the garden, before he went to the cross. John 13, 14, 15, 16, he's really teaching the disciples, some great teaching there. And he ends this little discourse here with a prayer, and he prays for the disciples, and then he prays for us. He prays for believers that would be following him 2,000 years later. So look at what it says, and look at what he prays about here. This is John 17, verse 20, Message translation. I'm praying not only for them, talking about the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. So he's talking about us. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind. So we, you know, we have a campaign of one, but this is a prayer of Jesus. Something he prayed about just before he went to the cross 2,000 years ago. Become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So they might be one heart and mind with us. Then, now look at what happens. When this happens, then the world might believe in you. In fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. So they'll be as unified and together as we are. I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness. Do you see kind of a theme here? How many times is one being used? Unity, oneness, coming together. And give the godless world evidence. And see, this oneness will be evidence to the world that you sent me and loved them in the same way you loved me. Jesus prayed this, and it's no coincidence then in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, that it says this. The whole congregation of believers was united as one, one heart, one mind. So the early church is our standard. I've been spending a whole lot of time the last several years in the book of Acts, and I just encourage you. And you read it, and you see all the lives being impacted, and then you kind of compare what you see maybe in your ministry or in your lives, and sometimes there's a great gap, it feels like. And it seemed like they were so together, so unified. They talked about one accord over and over again. And then I hear about what's happening in the Good News Church. And I hear about the little petty problems. I hear things, guys. I know a lot more than you think I know. Just some of the stupidest disagreements and strife and petty little things. Things that go back years. Slights. Grudges. And you know, it can be kind of discouraging. And so I go back to the book of Acts and I go, well, they seem to be there and we're just way down here. But I have some good news for you. We had a great service Wednesday night and ended up just all of us not, you know, splitting up for different parts of the service. We all stayed in here and the Lord had a lot of things to say. And the Lord spoke to me during the service, wrote it down in my notes. He said, the things that you've been dreaming about, the things that you've just been desiring about one accord, you will see those things. So I'm encouraged today. I'm encouraged. I have a word from the Lord. I have it in the Bible. I have Jesus' prayer in John 17. But then I have a word from the Spirit of God. I'm going to type that up and put that someplace where I can look at it and just speak it and declare it. And I may not be moved by what I see. I will not be moved by what I see, what I feel. I'd be moved by what I believe. We're faith people. And we're believing for one. And I just want to encourage you, you know, especially those that are leaders here. Especially those that have been members of this church for a long time. I mean, 5, 4, 5, 15, 16 years. You're the ones really I'm most concerned about because I just see a lot of coldness in some of the older members, a callousness, a nonchalantness, a unfriendliness. And that's part of the thing that I believe we're going to break through in this season of one. And when I start seeing some changes within the older members, I'll know we're getting someplace. Amen. And so as I've been looking at the book of Acts, there's three characteristics of a church that's in one accord. Three main characteristics. And this is how we'll know whether we're getting anywhere with one. So I've got kind of a benchmark to look at. We'll just call this the one accord test. You ready for this? So there's three things I'm looking for us to grow in this season of one. The first one is a church in one accord is going to have a revelation of God's great love. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14. Paul specifically put this down and wrote this down about a prayer that he was praying for the church. And I think it's a prayer that's most relevant for us today. I believe it's a prayer that we should be praying. Now look at the content of this prayer. Now, how many know what an E320 is? That's something that I coined here, E320. And it's because we talk so much about Ephesians 3:20, that verse which I'll read today in just a moment. I think it's a verse that fits in this year about astonishing blessings and the astonishing things of God. But look at what he prays here, and it's the prayer before Ephesians 3:20. So if we want to walk in Ephesians 3:20, we have to know what verses 14 through 19 have to say. So I'm reading this from the Amplified Version. It says this: "For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May He grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man." I pray that for you. "By the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality." Now listen to this. "May Christ, through your faith..." See, it's something you got to believe in. It's something you got to trust in. It's something you got to confess. "May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love." It's the key. It's a key to this Christian life. It's a key to transformation. It's a key for one accord. "That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? That you may really come to know practically and through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge." Meaning not just, you know, having 1 Corinthians 13 memorized, but to have it in your heart, to see it every day in your life. "Far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself." When you have a revelation of God's love in you, you are filled with who the essence of God. And that's why we preach about the goodness of God. That's why we preach about the abundant life. The Bible says it's the goodness or the love of God that leads man to repentance. It's not hell, fire, and brimstone. You shouldn't smoke. You shouldn't chew. You shouldn't go with girls who do. You shouldn't drink. You shouldn't use drugs. You shouldn't dance. You know, and that's what we get in a lot of places. And really, it's just condemnation. Now, on the other hand, we're not saying that we're ignoring other parts of the Bible where it says the wages of sin is death. I mean, I'm totally aware of that scripture. And I know that sin is dangerous and sin will bring, you know, have consequences. And it does say that whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. But I have found that scaring people into heaven and scaring people into living right and holy will not be sustained. It may cause a little bit of a change, but it's not going to bring the transformation and the fruit that we're looking for here. So we're going to preach the goodness of God. Now, does that mean that everybody in here is perfect? No, we have people in here that are abusing alcohol. We have people in here that are abusing drugs. We have people in here that are abusing pornography. We have people that have improper relationships. And they're married and having improper relationships. Right now, sitting next to you. But, you know, me standing up there and publicly exposing your sin is not going to bring transformation. So I'm going to keep on loving you. keep on preaching the word, keep on having a vision, keep on being patient. Because Lord knows people were patient with me. I mean, if you want to be in the ministry, you better be a patient person. Because transformation is a work in progress. You get them saved, and then they come to church, and they are just totally screwed up. This church right here was not built for the lost. Now, no offense to, you know, whoever may be listening on the radio. This church was not built for lost people. This was a built... I'm probably going to offend somebody, but that's okay. It was built as a country club church of just a few people getting together that cared for each other and wanted to build a nice little church. But they didn't want outsiders necessarily here. I can tell because the way the building was built, they weren't expecting to have a lot of people here. But we're not that kind of church. We're the kind of church where we actually have people that sin come to Good News Church. I think that might put us in the company of Jesus. We actually have some people here that aren't perfect. And we have to be a place where we can allow sinners to come. And where they can have their lives changed. So, you know, we're gonna preach the love of God. But there may be just some messy and some things that you just may not like, especially from the older members. You just may not like it. I mean, there's people here that have been members a long time in this church, and they still have a hard time with people of other races. We've had people come to Good News Church and they don't come back because we have mixed marriages here. Oh my God. If you feel that way, why don't you just come up here so I can just slap you right across the face? How stupid. How stupid. You think there's going to only be white people in heaven? If there's only in white people in heaven, I don't want to go there. White people are so boring. My son Harry was in the play. I shouldn't even say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it here. My son Harry was in the play at Augusta Prep, and in the brochure they have all the different things. I mean, the different people in the cast that write different things about their life. They can write whatever they want, and they'll publish it. This is what my son Harry put in there at Augusta Prep. They have the wealthiest students and all the you know, top leaders in the city going to the school. Harry put in there, "I wish I was black." What were you thinking, son? But I just know what you like, because I'll go to like the park, and I don't mean just to say white and black. I hope that's not offensive to you, but I'm just going to use that. And I see black people having a picnic, and they're just laughing and having a great time. And then you see the white people over there. They're all dignified. They've got their napkins. Fighting. Who do you want to be with? I want to be with the people having the fun. We ought to put maybe a sign out front: wanted, Hispanic people. We don't have enough Hispanic people. Wanted Asians. If you're North Korean, come to Good News Church. Because that would be a miracle because they can't get out of there. Anyway. I mean, I would just love it because we just represent heaven. I don't know how I got up on all that. Anyway. It's only 11:30. I mean, God is stopping time. Did you change that clock? Is that right? Man, I'm just having a good time today. It's only 11:30. I still got a half an hour of this. It's good to be me. People start heading toward the door. 1 John 4:16. Hey, if you're a sinner, you're welcome here at Good News Church. First John 4:16 says, and we know, understand, recognize, are conscious of, and by observation and experience, and believe, adhere to and put in and rely on the love of God, the love God cherishes for us. God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. It says here, we know and believe the love of God. All right, so that's point number one. Is we have a revelation of God's great love. Point number two is we have a great love for each other. A great love for each other. Romans 12. And let's go back to that race thing. If you got, you know, I know, you know, we all grew up in certain situations. You're just going to have to get over that. You're just going to have to get over that and grow in the things of God. Jesus died for everybody. Mm-hmm. He died for all 6 billion people. And we all have these people that we just kind of look down upon. But that's not God's way. And so, you know, part of this one, if there's any of that in Good News Church still left here, we just need to root that out. That's not something we want here. I mean, I just appreciate the differences in people. I love that. I don't want everybody like me. I appreciate the differences. I love the different backgrounds and to hear your story and where you've come from. It just makes this place such a rich place. And then when someone walks in and they look around, they're going to say, hey, there's people like me here. No matter who it is, there's people like me here. But this next part, a great love for each other. I'm going to read kind of a longer passage here from Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It's really, really good. Verse 9, the message, you may want to just look up on the screen again. It says this: love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Don't you hate that fakeness? I hope we don't have fake people here at Good News Church. I want real people. Not just some kind of, you know, fake religious thing. You know what I'm talking about. Don't fake it. See, when God really works in your heart, it's not fake. When God really works in your heart and he's transforming you, we're not where we want to be, but we're in a process. But when he's really working in your heart, I mean, it's genuine. It's real. You know, when I first got saved, one of the first things I did, I went and apologized to about 7 people. Because I had hurt him. And it's just God had just so touched my heart and transformed me. I just couldn't have that. And they didn't even understand what I was doing. Some things happened years ago. I wanted to get things right. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Wouldn't that be cool if that's the way, part of our membership? Be good friends who love deeply. Well, Pastor, I want my neighbor to be a good friend and love deeply. I just want to come and just receive. Well, I mean, I can understand for a new believer or someone kind of new in the things of God. But I mean, you've been walking with God for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Shouldn't you be being the example? Shouldn't you be showing us how it's done? You know, shouldn't it be the longer you've walked with God, the greater the transformation? Or should the greatest transformation that we experience is in the first year that we're saved? So, I'm saying this to some of the members here and the leaders of this church. Be good friends. Stop having this arrogance and this better than everyone else kind of attitude. And you're here to serve me. And this is about me. No, you know, that's not what we're talking. That's not what it's about. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. I don't have a problem cleaning bathrooms. I don't have a problem cleaning up your pee. I'll do it because I love you. And I'll do it with a good attitude. Is that on the radio? You pray those boldness prayers and you just don't know what's going to happen during the service. You know, see, it's a privilege to be a member here. It's a privilege to be the pastor here. It's a privilege to be a leader here. It's an honor and a privilege to serve people, clean bathrooms, bring tithes and offerings, put up with junk. It's a privilege. And I don't tire of it. The word minister, those who want to be in ministry. Ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. There's some other things you could probably spell, but we won't go there. And all these people that want to be ministers, full-time ministers. Oh, how great. You fly around on your jet. I do, but I don't let you know about it. If I had a jet right now, I'd sell it and put it money into the ministry. So if you want to give me a jet, go ahead. Minister means servant. And wouldn't it be awesome if our people in Washington, D.C. would realize they're ministers? Don't get Sean Lewis started on that, man. I'm about to cuss, but I can't cuss today. Pastor, you cuss? I only cuss during services. Ministers in Washington, D.C. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. Cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive. I love that. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. I'm having that stricken from all my Bibles. Laugh with your happy friends. Who wants some happy friends? When they're happy, share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. That's the thing about different races and colors and backgrounds.
There's beauty in everyone. You just have to be able to see with God's eyes. These are the people that Jesus died for. Keep that before you. These are people that Jesus died for. Yeah, they sin. They say the wrong things. They don't do the right things. But I love them. I'm patient. I'm willing to wait to see the beauty that's in them to come forth. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Boy, that's a good word. Get along with everybody. See, you can't do that without God's agape love in you. You know, we're looking to Washington and different political leaders to save us. They can't save us because it's only agape love that comes into the heart of man that can change a marriage, change a family, change a person, change a neighborhood, change a church, change anything. It's because it's the agape love of God. You want to change a neighborhood, go bring Jesus to them. You want to change a household and the family, bring Jesus to them. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Now, I looked up the word hospitality because that inventive hospitality just jumped off the page. So I looked up the word hospitality. This is what it says about hospitality. The friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, and strangers. Friendly and welcoming. Is that how we hear? Are we at Good News Church? Are we friendly and welcoming? It says to receive people in a pleasant and favorable manner. How are we doing in the nursery? How are we doing in the children's area? How are we doing in the youth? How is the usher team doing? How is the sound people doing? How is are we pleasant to people? Are we treating people with favor? Are we treating people that are, you know, again, down and out? Do we welcome them and care for them? Even if they're only going to be here one time, even if they're visiting just on a particular Sunday? We can get callous in how we treat each other and not have respect for each other. And as you get to know people, that's when you get to know me, one thing you're going to get to know about me is I have flaws. I know, Jose, I'm popping the bubble here. But as you get to know me, you're going to see the human side and you're going to see that I have flaws. Now, I'm doing my best to live for God. I mean, I have not backslidden in 30 years. I'm going all that I can for the Lord. Still am. 17 years of pastoring. I still love what I do. I still love God. You know, I'm still going for the gold, running my race. But you get to know me, you're going to see things that aren't perfect about me. And then you're going, oh, yeah, he talks a big game. He cusses so boldly at church. You know, Susie always, and she always says this because, but I'm going to put a disclaimer here. Susie laughs the loudest at her jokes. So she'll talk all the time about how funny I am at church. And then she gets me at home, and she's like, I guess I'm boring. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you are white.
I am white, but I wish I was black. You don't know it, but I have a lot of soul. I mean, I can sing with the best of them. It may not be in tune. The words might not be right, but I can sing with the best of them. I'll be having a little recital after service today. Just selling tickets in the lobby. Look over in John 13. Well, let's put it on the screen. Yeah, just take a day off from opening your Bible. Don't open your Bible today. John 13, verse 34. Message, translation says this: let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I loved you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. People ought to see how we treat each other here at church. And they ought to say, that's something that I want. And it ought to be real. And it comes from the heart. It's not something fake. It's something real. And we're not where I want to be, but I believe we're on the road. I'm believing for it. I have a vision of what I see Good News Church can be. And I guess if the vision was fulfilled, we'd be done. So I have something before that I want to see here. And I used to try to make it happen by force. I used to make it happen by frustration and anger and condemn people. And that didn't get me anywhere. So the thing to do is just preach the word, pray for people, do your best to set the example, and be patient. Love is patient. But it says that we will know, the world will know, that we're His disciples by our love one for another, that agape love, that love that transformed us. You see, this is the place where we're to practice. But we've got way too many members. And I'll just look up the beautiful stained glass back there. We have way too many members that are just showing up to church late, leaving early, not walking slowly through the building. They're just speedily walking through. We should walk slowly through church. You know what I mean by that? Taking time to talk to people, get to know people. We should probably try to learn one new name a week. You did that for the whole year, that'd be 52 people, new people. But we get in our little groups, our little cliques. Don't you hate cliques? You see, if we're a church of cliques, we're no different than the world, because that's what they do. They're masters at it. And if we have cliques here, we ought to just break that up. But we ought to, you know... Do you remember the day when you got saved? Remember the day when you were excited about church? Remember when you were just excited about loving people? Praise God. Acts 2 verse 46, Amplified, says this: and day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose. In their homes, they broke bread, including the Lord's Supper. They partook of their food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts, constantly praising God and being favor and goodwill with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved from spiritual death. See, they were a people, they had favor with people. Meaning they loved people, they cared for people. They were, again, we're not condoning sin. We know the ramifications of sin, but we know that people sin, and we love them, and we help them through things. And see, this is the kind of environment, it says, where they added to the church daily. In John 17, it said that if they become united, if we are here for each other, it says it would draw people. And so I just want to encourage you today, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. And if you choose to continue to be hard-hearted, that's your deal. I'll keep on loving you. If you choose to continue to operate in your offense, I'll just keep on loving you. If you choose to just be petty about things, I'll just keep on loving you. The Bible says that love never fails. It may take a year, it may take 2 years, it may take 5 years, it may take 10 years. I'm just going to keep on loving you. If you want to just be served, I'll just keep on loving you. If church for you is all about me receiving, I'll keep on loving you. If you want to just criticize everybody, how they look, how they're dressed, how they act, just gossip and make fun. I'm just going to keep on loving you. Eventually, if you're a sincere person, love will win out. So I guess I'm just having a heart-to-heart with leaders and members here. I'm just saying, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Don't call me. You know, call you on the phone. It should be at your service. My pleasure. What do you need? At your service. I'll be there. But no, Pastor, I'm not going to do it because I want to do this and I want to do that. And I don't like doing that. I want my way. I want to be selfish. I wish I could be selfish. I think I'm going to take a sabbatical. 6 months, a year. Go study in Europe. No, I'd be in sin. But that's what has to happen. That's what other people have done. What they've done, they've taken a sabbatical. Why do they get to take a sabbatical and I can't take a sabbatical? I'm a member of Good News Church. I'm taking a sabbatical. I'm taking 3 months off. I'm taking 6. It doesn't really matter. They won't miss me. It's kind of quiet in here. Where's all that laughter? You want me to cuss again? Got to break through the hearts of people. All right, so the first thing, we're talking about the one accord test. How do we know if a church is in one accord, a group is in one accord? Well, the first one is they have a revelation of God's great love. The second thing is they have great love for each other. Frank, that's not easy. I mean, again, we learn about people and their flaws and their problems, and it's not easy. It's agape is just a commitment of your will. It's a decision that you make. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. And then the third thing of the one accord test is a great love for the lost. And really, the second two and three come from number one. When you've been transformed, then we're going to come to church, and this is where we practice and learn about agape love. This is where we learn to be disciples. This is where we practice forgiving, practice grace, practice mercy. But then we do, and we take it out into our lives. But a love for the lost. Do you know that on average in churches, 2% of believers share their faith? 2%. That's not very good. Ninety-8% don't share their faith. Now, Good News Church, we have it's a lot higher percentage, but I'm looking for 100% of the members. Our mission is empowering people to give life. We're looking up to raise. Oh, I'll show you we're looking to raise. And I know you're tired of me reading this, but I'm going to read it one more time. You just can't stand 2 Corinthians 5, but I'll just have to read it again. A great love for the lost. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, Amplified, says this: "But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Not the pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers. The believers have been given the ministry of reconciliation, but very few know anything about it. That by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with God. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them, and committing to us the message of reconciliation. Everybody say, I have a ministry of reconciliation.
I have the message of reconciliation.
committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration of favor. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Everybody say, I'm an ambassador for Christ.
I'm an ambassador for Christ.
That means when you go to your school, you're an ambassador for Christ. And when you go to school, you have the ministry of reconciliation. You have the message of reconciliation. And the people you're going to school with are either know Jesus or they don't. But you know what happens? We need some young people that would be bold. It seems like everybody else is bold in what they do and what they believe, but the Christians are quiet and timid and meek, and we can't share our faith because we may offend somebody. But I tell you, that kid that you've been going to school with for 4 years, and if, as a freshman, he was going to hell, and he's still going to hell as a senior. I mean, what's up with that? But no, we're intimidated, peer pressure. We're conforming to the world. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I love this. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal. This is God working through us as it were through us. You want to be used by God? Let him make his appeal through you. We as Christ's personal representatives beg you. You ever just begged? Beg you. Beg you for the sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. And I love this. God personally present in Christ. And see, you want to experience some exciting things? When God is personally present in you, when you minister to the lost, he's personally present in you, working through you. Jesus is in you, working through you, giving you the words. Our job is just to overcome the fear and to be bold. And to see miracles and to see changed lives. Hell is a real place. People are going there. Look at the obituaries every day. People are dying every day. They're going either heaven or hell. There's only two places they're going. But a love for the lost. Now, if you think I'm getting over into condemnation, I hope I'm not. I just want to get over into conviction. This week, did you give any thought for the lost? This week, I mean, any prayer for laborers? Or are we just caught up in all the distractions of life, the cares of this world? I mean, what are we living our lives for? What's our purpose? Are we here to be liked by people? Are we here so we can be like everybody else, dress like them, drive like them, same house? I mean, what are you working all that time for in your job? What are you working for? And so these three things that I'm talking about today, if we could focus on these three things, I tell you, a lot of the things that we're dealing with and worried about, they're just going to just fade away. You're not going to have time for any of that. But the abundant life in God, it's a life just being consumed with his love and then being Christ to the world. So I believe it's a time just to look at our lives. What are we doing? What's our purpose? What if we let the enemy take from us? Take our joy? Take our peace. We just got sloppy agape. I'm asking, this is what I'm coming down to. I guess we were having a staff meeting the other day. And we were just talking about it. And I was just saying, you know, are we as a church moving into one? And I was a little frustrated about it because I thank God the Lord spoke to me on Wednesday, because I was a little frustrated because I just wasn't seeing it. Now, I know you have to do things on purpose, and we've had a lot of different things happen. You had Easter in there. We had Jeremy Gall here. You know, all kind of things happen. I guess what I'm asking, are there some leaders here? Are there some members here that will join me in my quest for one accord? Are there some people that are willing to pray and ask the Lord? Are there some people that are willing to pray for the laborers? Are there some people willing to say, you know, to kind of come along and help and support here? One accord, one heart, one soul, one church. Let me ask you this question today. Now, for people that are new and people that haven't been members or are attenders of the church, I'm not necessarily asking you this question, but I'm asking this for people that have been here, members 3 and beyond years, we'll say. And then especially the leaders, because the leaders set the example. What are you doing to bring one to this body? What on purpose are you doing to bring one accord, one heart, one soul, one church? And I'm asking this to get in your consciousness and to get in your mind and to even this week to say, ask your and pray about this and say, what can I do to bring one in this body? Or to say, what is my part in this? And the more people that will join and say, I've got a part. I'm asking the youth. I mean, I look at the youth sometimes and they, you know, some of them, they just look like they're in some other zone. I mean, you're preaching, you don't even know what the heck's going on inside their head. You know what I'm talking about, Nate? And I've just preached by faith. But I mean, man, if I had a church like this when I was their age, man, I'd have already won the whole world already. Gone home. I went through high school not knowing Jesus. You know how miserable that was? Ugh. Young people, what are we doing about one? What's your plan? You're part of this. Corey and Svenja, you're going to be going to Germany. When y'all leaving?
Today.
Oh, about time to go catch a plane?
Yeah.
You picked the doozy of a service to come to today. I'm asking for your help today. Asking you to pray about this. Will you join us in this? Will you help us? And then let's just believe God and see what the Lord can do. We can. I'm talking about not just Good News Church, but I'm talking about the body of Christ. We can outdo the early church. We're not in a competition, but we can outdo the early church. That's the Lord's plan. And we got to have some prototypes and some models. Why not Good News Church? We're in a good place. Why not this church? Let us be one of those churches. Let us be one of the churches in one accord. And then we can expect the benefits that we see in the book of Acts for Good News Church as a part of our astonishing blessings. We have the Insight School coming up in June and July. We have a few people signed up already, but I know I'm expecting 20 students. And if you sign up, it's not necessarily saying you're going to be going a full-time ministry. That's not the plan for everybody. But there's some people here. You need to pray about that. Pray about Insight. Don't worry about the money. Don't let that be the obstacle. Money has never held me back from anything I've wanted to do. The big thing is about my heart and making the decision. And once I make the decision, the money will follow. Today after service, I'm going to give you a challenge. I want you to walk slowly through this church. I don't want, you know, now, on purpose, I didn't mention okra and fried chicken today and all those things. Because I, you know, trying to get you not to be thinking about lunch. How about I give you a challenge to meet somebody new before you leave today? How about I say this? This is my close here. How about I give you permission that if you've forgotten somebody's name, to go ahead and say, I know you told me your name already, but I don't know it. Would you tell it to me again? I give you permission. I double dog dare you to do that today. Well, Pastor, it's been 5 times. Well, get your pen and write it on your hand when they tell it to you, and go write it down and say it 5 times. Double dog dare you if you haven't been back to the atrium for fellowship time. I double dog dare you just to go and just show your face in there. And just walk in there like you own the place. Like you knew it. Hey! Just go up to somebody and start talking to them, and you don't even know them, but just pretend you know them. Just start just talking and just whatever. Some of the shy people, and I'm a shy person in a lot of ways. Some of the shy people, you're freaking out right now, like, man, I got to meet people. But I'm just praying you'll be bold. You could be shy here, but, you know, kind of start coming out, meet somebody today. Just, it may take everything. Just go up to somebody and start talking to them. Hey, I tell you what, if you're a shy person, you know how, just listen. Because we got a lot of gabbers here at Good News Church. Find one of those people, and they'll think you're really an extrovert because you'll just listen to them because they just gab and gab and gab. And then just kind of smile and, you know, that's good. Let's stand, everybody. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to have to go home, and what did I say at church today? Let's just give Him praise. Let's just thank Him right now for one accord. We speak it by faith here at Good News Church. Lord, You're helping us. Thank You, Lord. You've given us the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation. Lord, Your agape love is in us. Let it just shine like never before. Let us just, this church be born again. Let this church be revived. Let this church be stirred up. Let the members be stirred up today. Lord, when people come into Good News Church, they'll experience Your love, Your life-changing love. Let there be joy and laughter and peace in this place. And we just cast out fear. We cast out offense. We cast out strife. We cast out prejudice. And we just invite the Spirit of God to come in this place, just to come in here and transform, make this place new. Let's reinvent Good News Church. Thank You, Lord. Asking for Your help. Help our leaders, Father. I know the enemy's got a target on their back, but help our leaders to get a hold of this and see things. See this and jump in with us. Lord, I pray for laborers to be sent out to the harvest field. I pray for boldness within the people. I pray for people to rise up and be bold wherever they go. Lord, I pray that they'll proclaim the word. I pray, Lord, for miracles to be done with their hands, signs and wonders. Things change because they're there. Speak safety over Corey and Svenja as they head back to Germany. Just, Lord, just a great marriage, great relationship. Go back and just change Germany in the name of Jesus. We thank You for everybody here today. Speak a blessing over them. I speak healing. I speak health. I speak provision. I speak right relationships. Fear and oppression, You leave right now in the name of Jesus. Devil, take your hands off God's property. And Father, I pray for people to reach their potential in Christ, the gifts that are in them, to come forth to bless the body of Christ. Pray these things in